evening. We welcome you to our midweek Bible study here in Ballygan Free Presbyterian Church. We're glad you're able to join in with us this week, and we pray that God will bless us as we consider His Word. We'll begin with a word of prayer. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank You for another Wednesday evening when we can come under the sound of Thy Word and come to the place of prayer. And O God, our Father, we pray tonight that Thou wilt meet with us and that Thou wilt bless us. And we pray that the Spirit of God would move upon our hearts even tonight, that Thou wilt unfold to us and unravel to us the truth of Thy precious Word, and grant that we may be encouraged, and Lord, that we might be strengthened even through Thy Word tonight. And O God, in these challenging times, that Thou wilt lead us on with Thyself and lead us through with Thee, even as a congregation, that Thou wilt help us, and as a church family, that Thou wilt protect our people in these days. And we pray, Lord, that Thou wilt remember each family and each individual. And we pray, O God, that Thy blessing will be upon us. And as we move forward in Thy will, that, Lord, we might see great things accomplished, even for Thine honor and for Thy glory. Remember our health service, and remember our doctors and nurses and all our care workers and people in these positions, Lord, where they're right at the front line at this time. We pray that Thou will keep them safe, and remember our emergency wards and our intensive care units. And Lord, we pray that Thou will undertake for people in these situations who are gravely ill. It is Your will to heal them and restore them to health and strength. Remember the sorrowing, and there are many, Lord, not only through this COVID, but, Lord, dying of other ailments and other serious illnesses. Lord, we pray that Thou wilt draw near even to all these families and comfort them in these times. Lord, we just pray that tonight the Word of God will be open to us as we read it and as we study together for a short time. We pray that our hearts will be encouraged and strengthened through the Lord. We pray in Jesus' name and for God's eternal glory. Amen. In our study of the New Testament books, we're coming this week to the book of Galatians, another of Paul's epistles. And of course, Paul, as we've said before, wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. And so he had a very, very important role to play under the Holy Spirit of God as he wrote these books, and here is one of them, the book of Galatians. We're going to read some verses here from Galatians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle, not of man, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ, and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. And all the brethren which are with me, unto the churches of Galatia. Grace be unto you and peace, from God the Father, and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory for ever and ever. Amen. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, for there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade man or God? Or do I seek to please man? For if I yet pleased man, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Ending our reading there at verse 12, we know that God will bless to us the reading of His precious, infallible, inerrant, and inspired Word. The message that Paul preached was the gospel. And you will notice in these first two chapters of Galatians, if you care to read through them, as I trust you will, the emphasis upon the gospel and the number of times that the gospel is mentioned. The good news. Of course, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in the opening verses, we have there a definition of the gospel. That Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. It is truly good news that sinners can be forgiven and can go to heaven because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. And this is the most important message in all of the world. Although the world at large doesn't see it that way. But it is indeed the most important message in the world. And this message, of course, this gospel had changed the life of Paul when he was at that time Saul of Tarsus on the Damascus Road, seeking to persecute and put to death the saints of God, and yet the Savior met him and the Savior saved him. His life was changed. And of course, through him and through his ministry and through the gospel he proclaimed, many other lives were changed also. But now this message of the gospel is being attacked here. And Paul was out to defend the truth of the gospel. He says here in verse 7, there are those who would pervert the gospel of Christ. There are those who would preach another gospel. And he mentions this here. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. He emphasizes it again and again here in these verses. The folly of those who would come with their false teaching and seek to pervert the gospel of Christ and distort it and turn people's minds away from it. The false teachers had invaded the churches of Galatia. Churches that Paul founded. And they were teaching a different message than that which Paul had taught. And we see that here clearly in verses 6 to 9 of the opening chapter. People were being removed from the true gospel to another gospel. And these false teachers were prevalent. And sadly, this church that had begun so well was now wandering away into Bypath Meadow. A church that had been strong had now become weak. They had been hindered from continuing in the race for God. And how often the devil sends in false teachers into the church to set forth their damnable heresies and doctrines of devils that would turn the minds of many away from the truth of the gospel as it is in Christ. As we look at this book of Galatians, we see what I believe is a key verse in chapter 5 and verse 9, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And that's what had happened. This leaven of false teaching had gone into this church, or these churches at Galatia, and had leavened the whole lump. And what a warning this epistle is to the church today. Not to allow within those who do not follow the teaching of the Word of God, those who would dilute and distort the gospel. Jude in his epistle, he warns in Jude 4 about these very people. The fourth verse of the epistle of Jude. And look at the words here. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men, turning the grace of our Lord, of our God, into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. And so there was this turning away from the truth by those who would creep in unawares within the church. And they do untold damage to the cause of Christ. And sadly, it had a detrimental impact upon the churches of Galatia. You see Paul's strong words here to the people of God there. Look over at chapter 3. He says in verse 1, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ have been evidently set forth, crucified among you. Verse 3 of the same chapter, are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? They had been bewitched by the subtleties and the strategies of these false teachers who had come in. And Paul sought by his writing to these churches to get them back on the right path. Turn them away from this legalism that was being taught to the liberty of the gospel of Christ, which he proclaimed. Look what he says in chapter 5, verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. He sought to get them back to the truth of the gospel. Away from this bondage of legalism. Into the liberty of Christ. See what he says to them in chapter 5 verse 7. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? You see, they were running well in the Christian race. But they'd been hindered by all of these falsehoods that were being taught to them. There was error in this church. Erroneous teaching. And Paul highlighted here, as he wrote to this epistle to the church. But Paul sought also to give encouragement to this church. Look at chapter 5, verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. Ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. That's what he's encouraging them to do. And then chapter 5, verse 25. Live in the Spirit, he says. If ye live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And so, living in the Spirit and walking in the Spirit are inseparably linked together. If we live in the Spirit, then we will walk in the Spirit. If we walk in the Spirit, then we live in the Spirit. And so he seeks to encourage the church. And he also seeks to enlighten them as to how they can really do this. How can they forsake all of this folly? How can they get back on track again? Well, they can do it by forsaking the works of the flesh. Look at chapter 5, verses 19 to 21. How the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. The works of the flesh must be forsaken. Must be turned away from. And then, what they need is the fruit of the Spirit. Look at verses 22 and 23 of chapter 5. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. You see, if we're going to live in the Spirit and walk in the Spirit, then we have to forsake the flesh. And we have to have manifested in our lives the fruit of the Spirit. These characteristics that are mentioned here, there are 9 of them. And God wants them to be manifested in our lives. Not only in the church here, the churches of Galatia, but also in our lives. And so there's a way back for this church. Though they'd been so led astray, and Paul pointed them in the right direction. He wanted them to be united in Christ, all one in Christ Jesus, not biting and devouring one another. Not divided against each other. But rather in the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. In the gospel of Christ. Come to the final chapter. Chapter 6. It's a vital chapter. It gives us very important advice. And there was important advice to them at that time. On spiritual help to a believer overtaken in a fault. You see that in verses 1 to 5 of chapter 6. Verse 1 says, Brethren, If a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Sometimes people can be very hard on people that have been overtaken in a fault. And while they have to pay for their indiscretion, nevertheless, they have to be restored to the fellowship of the gospel of Christ. So there's important advice there given. And then not only is there spiritual help, advice on that, but there's help on material things as well, verses 6 to 10. It's often talked about in sowing and reaping, and of course that is definitely in the passage. But it talks in verse 10, if you notice, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith, giving help to those who are in need, communicating. Look at verse 6. That him that is taught in the word, communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. It means simply to share. And how the believer in Christ is to share with others in a material sense. Not to be all self-centered and keeping all to themselves, but to share with others who are in need. You look at Romans chapter 15, verse 27, you'll see the thought there. The 15th chapter of Romans and the verse 27. And it says there these words, Romans 15, 27, it pleased them verily, and their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. A ministry in things that are necessary to help others. How the Christian needs never to forget that. Not to be self-centered. Not to be just thinking of themselves, but to be thinking of others and the needs of others. And Paul was reminding this church of these things, spiritual help, material help. But then, of course, in verses 11 to 18, he's speaking about God's glory and not man's approval. You'll notice there how he talks about in verse 14, God forbid that I should glory. Paul wasn't out for himself. He was crucified with Christ. The I wasn't important. It wasn't about self, it was rather about the glory of God. And to the very end of the letter, Paul has grace in mind. The Christian who depends on grace through the Spirit will always bring glory to God. The legalist who practices religion will earn the approval of men. And how the world honors religious people but hates the dedicated Christian, despises them, revises them and ridicules them. But Paul was a dedicated Christian, one who was seeking the glory of God. Man's chief end is to glorify God, the Catechism says. Notice verse 16 there of the sixth chapter. As many as walk according to this rule, we are to walk by grace as a new creation in Christ, as the Lord has taught us, according to His rule. It's not the rules of man. It's what Christ has taught. It's the rule of Scripture. All that we find in the Scriptures of truth, we're to follow the Scriptures. As many as walk according to this rule. The Bible says, if they walk not according to this Scripture, there is no light in them. There is no light in them. And so as believers in Christ, we are to think about this great epistle to the Galatians. About the pitfalls that there are for the church in these days as there were in those days. That we will not fall into falsehood and error. We'll turn to the truth and embrace the truth and buy the truth and sell it not. There are six chapters in this epistle. We could take chapter summaries It will aid us in the study of this book. You read each chapter, summarize it by picking out a verse or just a few words that will remind you of what is said in that chapter. Verses that you can memorize will help also with the teaching of this epistle. And what Paul is saying here is concerning liberty. That's the chief part of this epistle. And it's woven through it. We are saved by faith in Christ. Apart from the works of the Jewish law, we have been given liberty in Christ. And that is the essential teaching of this epistle. It's woven throughout it. The liberty we have in the gospel of Christ. Not the bondage of legalism, but the liberty that is found in Christ. May God help us to stand fast in that liberty, to be firm and resolute in the liberty of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And may God help us to study this book, the book of Galatians, and be encouraged by it and be enlightened by it. Even to go on with God and to follow on and grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're coming to prayer tonight, and we exhort you to seek the Lord and to pray for God's work and to God's cause at home and abroad, our own church family, the needs of our church, and each family and each individual within it, the needs of our community and our land. And this presbytery has exhorted us to pray that God will come and God will turn the hearts of the people to Himself in these days. And even as God's people, we will repent of our sin and turn afresh to the Lord. Let's come to the Lord and let us pray. Father in heaven, we beseech Thee tonight to visit Thy cause in this corner of Thy vineyard. O God, we thank Thee for the people of God here, those that have stood by the stuff down through the years, those even who have been promoted to glory, who have left a legacy in this very place, that we might take up the baton and that we might move on for God, that we might run the race, and that we might obtain the prize. Gracious God, we pray that You'll lead us forward and onward in these days. And O God, in the darkness of this hour, we pray that You would turn the people's hearts to God. We pray for a mighty revival to come sweeping this way. May it come sweeping through this land at this time. May it begin in our hearts tonight. O God, burden our people, the members and friends of our church, all who love the Lord, to pray. If My people which are called by My name shall humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then they will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, will heal the land. We know that Thou alone hast the answer. And O God, we pray that You'll intervene. We give Thee thanks already for the progress made with this vaccine. Lord, may it progress further. May it soon be able to be rolled out even to the most vulnerable people and to our health service. And O God, we pray that even apart from that, Thou wilt intervene to the stopping of the spread of this virus, to the lowering of numbers going into our hospitals and having to have intensive care, the number of people even losing their lives through it. Oh, we pray for Thine intervention. In the meanwhile, give us patience to wait upon the Lord, and O God, to trust Thee, knowing that Thou doest all things well. So, Lord, move through the preaching of the Word in this place, and we pray that men and women, as they hear the Word of God, will come to Christ, that many souls will be saved, many backsliders restored, those long prayed for will be swept into the kingdom of God. Even tonight, we look to Thee for mighty answers to prayer. Continue with us as Thy people, as we continue for this time tonight in prayer. We pray in Jesus' name and for God's eternal glory. Amen.